Welcome to another edition of the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. Now, here's dementia care expert Tipa Snow and your host, Greg Phelps.
This podcast is brought to you by Joy's House. Joy's House serves adults living with life-altering diagnosis and their families by providing exceptional adult day and caregiver services. With two Indianapolis-based adult day centers, Joy's House offers safety and community for their clients while offering peace of mind and respite for caregivers. For more information, visit joyshouse.org.
Hello and welcome to the Dementia Care Partners podcast brought to you by Positive Approach to Care. I'm your host, Greg Phelps, and joining me as usual is dementia care expert Tipa Snow. And Tipa, I got a sort of a cryptic email and it says, so we were wondering, the collective we, what would you think of recording a podcast episode about ADHD? And that meant that I actually had to go back and do some reading on it. I was aware of it, but I had never connected the dots and thinking that there might be some similarity with dementia.
Yeah. So it's attention disorder hyperactivity. So you mean it's got attention and it's got hyperactivity involved in it, as opposed to attention disorder, but not with hyperactivity. So that hyperactivity is motoric. So the person is mobile and doing lots of things. And it turns out that some recent studies of adults with ADHD indicate they have a 3 times their peer risk of developing dementia at younger ages. So it appears that the phenomena of having attention deficit, which actually makes sense because many dementias actually start with attention deficit problems. Now, it can involve hyperfocus or inability to stay focused or inability to switch focus. So those are 3 different attention issues that someone who might be developing dementia might have. So the very nature of the condition that we're identifying in someone, they have a difficult time with attention, and they tend to be busy about that. In other words, what draws their attention might be their eyes to something, but then they start wanting to do something with the thing that they see, or they might start talking about something that they're seeing. But then when their eyes move to a new location, well, there's a whole new thing to look at and to explore and to talk about and to do something with. And so this inability to stay focused to completion, and I guess that's the phenomena, stay focused until you get done, is an indication often in adults that they start things and don't finish things, which could be many of us. And that may have started even younger in life. It turns out the vast majority of people with ADHD are actually not diagnosed. So if you don't have a diagnosis of that and you start showing a worsening of that, it's possible that somebody could identify you with dementia and have totally missed that. Well, yeah, but you've been living with ADHD for a bit. And what we don't know is how they're related. You know, we don't know if they're causative or, in fact, one and the other coexist. And so we can see your changing abilities easier because you are all over the map already, kind of thing.
I've been going in and out of care homes recently. And I look at the workload that the staff have, and I think to myself, how is somebody going to possibly have the time to stop and sort of go, I wonder if there's some ADHD mixed into all the other dementia signs that I see. So care providers are being asked to do more to understand more complex problems. So do you have any sort of things that we can discuss that people might go, oh yeah, that's useful, that might be helpful to me? Because that's what we're trying to do, is help people.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we use a lot is recognizing visual interest will lead to potentially verbal interest, will also lead to physical interest. So if I can show someone something, oh, hey, Greg, take a look at this. So I use, oh, hey, Greg, is the verbal, but I'm actually gesturing or pointing or indicating or holding something within your center field but a little bit out. In other words, you're paying attention to something. I'd like you to pay attention to this. And so I hold it up, but I have to make it interesting enough and available enough that I can get you to let go of what you're doing and move into the space that I'm providing. But if I suspect ADHD, I've got to be ready for the next shiny thing and the next shiny thing and the next shiny thing. But I want to find my way of interjecting, and we call it interjecting rather than interrupting. So if you are engaging with something, I want you to be just about finished with that. And then I say, oh, hey, Greg, because I'm going to start you in a new thing. So I'm actually facilitating ADHD, but in a purposeful way. So I'm making each step, like putting on your clothes, seem like something different and something different and something different. So I say this shirt or this shirt, and I'm holding up two different shirts and you select this shirt. Okay, here, let's do the buttons. So now I've taken it from a shirt to a buttoning test. And then the buttoning test, I said, oh, you know what? Here, tell you what, go ahead and put your hand in. All right, good. Now we're gonna slide it around. Okay, now this other hand. And I just switch from one hand to the other hand. So by understanding ADHD as a going from task to task, I become the facilitator of going from task to task in an organized way. But your brain gets the excitement of going from task to task to task to task. It also means that I want to simplify environments, not make them barren, but make them places where if I have something sticking out of a drawer, it's purposely sticking out of the drawer. Because if it's sticking out of the drawer, what's it going to do? What's it going to do, Greg, if it's something sticking out of the drawer?
It's going to catch my attention. I'm going to be a little bit more curious than if the drawer was just shut.
Yeah. So if it's sticking out of the drawer, it's drawing your eye and then you over to that space. So you're not going down the hall and going in someone else's room. So if I have things setting in corners and around and they're down lower, because I know that your visual field will tend to seek more at basically eye height or below, then I start thinking of, okay, where could I place things around here that would get Greg involved so he's not off doing things I don't want him to do? So I start using the ADHD as a phenomena that supports the care that needs to be done. I recognize we're going to walk and eat, Greg. We're not going to sit at a table and eat. We're going to go down the hall and down that way. Look at that. There's a cup and it says Greg on it. Well, and that's like, what is that? Oh, juice. Yeah. So you take, hey, Greg, look over here. And now we go from here to there. And it allows me to be moving through the environment with you. But the good news is, without ADHD, I can also keep track of all the other people that I might need to keep an eye on while I'm working with you. And notice, oh, here you go, Greg. And I let you wander a bit because I've got somebody else I need to intervene with.
So speaking of somebody else, on a lot of units, people are very busy. Mm-hmm. Do you see this as taking more time from a care partner? Or if they're aware of it, can they sort of work it into their routine? Because you were just saying you could do things with other people at the same time. So you don't have to have special care?
Well, here's the tricky part. I have to have somebody who can basically do divided attention and not lose focus on the different divides. So typically, a human brain can hold on to 5 to 8 different categories or things at a time in working memory. So how many people's schedules can you hold on to in a moment in time? And it turns out that you have to rehearse and practice this stuff. Otherwise, you get really focused on Greg and you forget Emilio, or you get really focused on Greg and Emilio and you totally forget about Tipa. How do you build this into a routine that works for me as the carer and then supports you as human beings in my support and care? And who do I need to bring in? And do I have the authority, quote unquote, or the ability to have a relationship with a family member that says, you know what, I know you typically come at 5. It would be super helpful if you could come at 4. Is there any way you could work that out? Because that's when Greg really needs something that gives him a sense of purpose. And it's really one of the hardest times for me to deliver that. So in other words, am I expecting care staff to be able to do that? I'm expecting them to raise their hand and say, I'm running into trouble. I could use some help. And I'm expecting a manager to start to recognize, I'm asking a lot. And so let's start building relationships outside of this building with other human beings. that could learn something, could do something, might enjoy something. Maybe this is a time to start bringing in that old idea of what are they called? Volunteers. I think they're volunteer, not volunteer. Well, now what they're told, yeah, we need to use them, these individuals with skill, not just we're going to volunteer them to fold this. We have a match up with somebody and say, hey, maybe you could get somebody to work with this on you. And if not, maybe you could get them to put it in the basket. So we're really looking beyond what we're currently doing, because what we're currently doing isn't really meeting people's needs very much, including the people doing it.
When these various studies started coming out, did a penny drop for you, or did you know that you knew that somewhere in the back of your brain and you hadn't quite mashed it together?
Yeah, well, I mean, the reality for me is I've worked with people with ADHD for a lot of years in a variety of settings. When I was working in education, when I was working in the community, when I was working in medical schools. So I knew ADHD. I would watch people just like, wow, they have a really hard time staying focused. And so it's not really a surprise for me. It's just like, oh, yeah, puzzle piece here, puzzle piece here, they fit, don't they? And it's like, oh yeah, wonder what it is, cause and effect, relationships, same genes, started a thing. I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is we can do things regardless of cause, because what we're dealing with is what's going on right now and how we can support each other.
Speaking of support, Tipa, are you putting any online classes together, or is this something you need to teach in person because there's so much complexity involved in it? Which one is good or best, better, you know?
Yeah, so it all starts with having a level of awareness. So we think sort of watching things to go, oh, using your eyes and ears and going, oh, I'd be interested, because we don't want to voluntold people. We want people to sort of get curious enough to want to come over. And then we can do things online if that's sort of where your availability is. We start with some online interactive things. So we run champion courses. We run care partner support series courses. And we run those so you can interact with each other in real time. And you can see something and try to mess with it. And then ultimately we do in-person things, because we believe in-person gives you the full immersive experience. And we've actually now got a community center here in North Carolina where this training can take place. And we also have mentors and folks who can come out and do that in different locations. So I go places, they go places all over the world, because we know sometimes you don't bring a mountain somewhere, you go to the mountain where it is, because that's where it is, and you figure it out. And sometimes you ask people to come and visit to see what happens when they come and visit.
If people have more questions about this, can they talk to a consultant, or are you sort of the guru on this and you're training everybody at the moment?
We do have some folks who are aware and knowledgeable about ADHD kinds of issues, but we also have folks who aren't as knowledgeable in our organization, because it is a relatively new identified issue. And until it's clearly identified, you sort of go, yeah, well, you know, makes sense. So we have some of both. And so we do have consultants, we have chat, we have the ability to do email, or we can actually do a phone call or Zoom. And so, yeah, we have some folks who have some expertise, but we also have folks who will be curious and would hook us up with somebody who is an expert, quote unquote.
Tipa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to the Dementia Care Partners podcast, brought to you by Positive Approach to Care. For more information on this program or other dementia care-related information, go to tipasnow.com.
Hi, I'm Tipa Snow, and you just found our YouTube channel and watched one of our videos. I'm the owner and founder of Positive Approach to Care. Thanks for watching. And if you liked, if you have a comment about, or you would, please share it with people you know. Oh, and if you haven't yet done it, consider subscribing. We'll let you know when the next new video comes out. And you might want to visit our website, www.tipasnow.com, where you'll find other resources as well. See you there.